Good morning, and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, and this is a program that each week looks at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today, we are continuing to study those events in the Jesus' last days of public teaching. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 18 through 27 and the question put forth to Jesus of whose wife will she be in the resurrection. Now after the Pharisees and the Herodians had attempted to bring down Jesus, the Sadducees now make their attempt to ensnare Jesus. The Sadducees were a sect of the Jews that did not believe in the resurrection of the body. Note chapter 12 and verse 18. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, and they asked him, saying. Now we can also note Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. The Sadducees believed now that they had an argument on this day that Jesus could not overcome. Notice now in Mark 12, beginning in verse 19. Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. Now Jesus quickly answers their hypothetical scenario, and he informs them that they do not know the scriptures, nor do they understand the power of God. Notice verse 24. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? Jesus teaches them that marital relations do not continue in eternity. Verse 25, for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. The resurrection is proved by the words of God to Moses at the burning bush. Notice verses 26 and 27. Now concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Now, of course, the Sadducees were way out of line in their stance regarding the resurrection. Jesus said in verse 27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Many people today are off base concerning the resurrection. Let us look at some things the scripture has to say about the resurrection. Let's consider the reality of the resurrection. Jesus taught that there will be a resurrection. Jesus taught that both good and evil will come forth from the grave. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Jesus has promised all believers that they will be raised at the return of the Lord. Notice from John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Drop down to verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And further down in verse 54, Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The apostles would claim the reality of the resurrection. Peter and John preached in the name of Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Notice Acts 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The Apostle Paul confessed that his hope was in the resurrection before Felix in the Sanhedrin court. Acts 23 and verse 6. "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged.'" Later in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, he said, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Paul would teach the necessity of the resurrection to those at Corinth. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." Paul also taught the doctrine of the resurrection to those in Thessalonica. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. The resurrection is clearly a fact according to the Scripture. And to argue against the resurrection is to argue against the authority of Jesus Christ and his apostles. Now let's consider the source of the resurrection. Jesus told the Sadducees that the resurrection was by the power of God, for they denied that there was a resurrection. In our text, verse 24, Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God?" In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, we're told that for with God nothing will be impossible. The Apostle Paul also taught that there was a resurrection and that it was by the power of God. And we will be resurrected by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us up by his power." If God can raise Jesus from the dead, then he will raise us up from the dead. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:14. "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." Now this leads us to the question of who will be raised at the resurrection. And the Scripture gives us a very clear picture of who will be raised. The Scripture tells us that all will be raised at the resurrection. Jesus told us that all will be raised at the day of judgment. Jesus taught that all will come forth from the grave, both good and bad. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Some will receive the resurrection of life, and others will receive the resurrection of condemnation." Paul also taught that all will be raised at the great day of judgment. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." All men are going to die as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, but those who are alive in Christ will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Everyone will be resurrected. But as the Scriptures have shown us, it will be two different resurrections. We naturally know there will be a resurrection, but this begs the question of when will the resurrection come to pass? Consider the timing of the resurrection. Jesus tells us that the resurrection will occur at the last day. John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And a few verses later, in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Further in the chapter, in verse 54, Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Apostle Paul taught that this would occur when Jesus returns to deliver the kingdom to the Father, having defeated death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now notice beginning in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Paul also told us that this would occur at the sounding of the trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Everyone will be changed, some for good and some for the worse. We need to be aware that premillennialism and other doctrines teach that there will be multiple resurrection. The premillennialists teach that there will be a resurrection of the believers at the return of Christ, and then, after a thousand-year reign, the resurrection of the unbelievers will take place. Some of the premillennialists also add a resurrection of the individuals that come to Jesus at the end of a seven-year period of tribulation. And those who come to believe during the thousand-year reign will be resurrected at the end of the millennial period. But these teachings are not possible, and thus they are false. For first, consider that the Bible teaches the resurrection of the believers and the unbelievers occurring at the same time. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. John chapter 5 verses 28 and 29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Acts chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 also. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And then, Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The scripture teaches us that the believers will be resurrected at the last day. The scripture makes no reference to multiple resurrections before the actual last day. And we saw this earlier in John chapter 6 in verses 39, 40, 44, and 54. Premillennialists take several passages out of context to support the doctrine of multiple resurrections. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This scripture is about the resurrection of the righteous, but it does not indicate that the unrighteous are not resurrected at the same time. Now let's consider for a few moments the bodily resurrection of the righteous. Our fleshly body will be resurrected and given a new and glorious incorruptible body. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, a little lengthy here, but I think worth our time, beginning in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, and another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So according to these scriptures, we are sown in corruption and raised to incorruption in verse 42. We are sown in dishonor and raised in glory, verse 43. We are sown in weakness and raised in power, verse 43. We are sown as natural bodies and raised as spiritual bodies, verses 44 through 49. And even those that alive at the second coming will put on incorruptible, according to verses 50 to 55. Now what about the bodily resurrection of the wicked? The scripture does not give us a lot of information concerning the resurrected body of the wicked. But we do know this much. They will not be subject to death again. They will be capable of enduring eternal suffering and eternal torment. And so as we wrap it up today, we must conclude that there is going to be a resurrection. And each one of us should be motivated to desire for what God has planned for those who love and obey Him. Let us abound in good works, preparing for that great day, so that we do not find ourselves on the wrong side of eternity. We close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Great lessons for us from Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. Thank you for joining me today, and if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time on Studies in the Gospels. So long, and have a great day.